What a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord as we enter this holiday season. This is the most festive time of the year. We are preparing for a time of gathering, of eating, of gift giving, of celebrating, and of singing. And music is a very important part of this season of celebration. And really, I'm a little bit surprised that Kay hasn't already started playing Christmas music. Usually she is the first one to get started, and it's in every car I get into. As a church, we're looking forward to our mini choir program on December the 7th. We're trying to find a good date to go caroling and reach out to some of our homebound and assisted living members. And we'll soon begin to hear and sing some of the most familiar songs that we sing, songs we know as Christmas carols. The Christmas season is known for its distinct musical mood. But music has always been a vital part of worship. And it's evident in the passage that we're going to look at this morning. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, this chapter begins with David placing the Ark of God in a tent and then making arrangements for worship. And verses 4 through 7 help us better understand the function of music in worship. You have your Bibles, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 4 through 7, read. David appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and second to him, Zechariah, then Jael, Shemiramoth, Jael, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, Obed-Edom, and Jael, with musical instruments, harps, lyres. Also, Asaph played loud-sounding cymbals. And Benaniah and Jehaziel, the priests, blew trumpets continually before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord. The passage we've read this morning illustrates that music serves an important function in worship. While the worship described in this chapter involves a number of activities, these verses that we read focus us on the musical aspects of worship. A reminder that music has always been one of the primary activities of a people who gather to praise the Lord. Songs were composed. Hymns and psalms were written. Instruments were played. And music was sung. In fact, the book of Psalms, found in the middle of the Bible, was a hymn book used for the purpose of worship. And music continued to be an important part of worship in the New Testament as well. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord." So both the Old Testament and the New Testament affirm that music is a vital part of worship. In verses 5 and 6, the lyres and harps, cymbals and trumpets were played regularly, even continually, before the Ark of the Covenant of God. These verses depict regular and permanent arrangements for worship, which included the use of music. The inclusion of music in worship is important because it helps establish a mood. It sets a tone. Have you ever watched black and white silent movies from way back in the day? I mean, I took a film appreciation class in college, and I saw some of those, and I will tell you, some of them were rough. But when they added music, the dramatic effect was greatly intensified, even when there were still no words. You kind of got a better sense of what was going on and what was taking place. And since Caleb, my oldest son, has been doing work in film, I've noticed even more how music can shape and enhance a particular mood with spectacular force. He would show me clips, first of all, without the sound, and then after the music was put in, it was dramatically different. And the Bible acknowledges the power of music. I mean, after all, it contains songs of celebration and praise at times of deliverance. It contains songs of lament and sorrow in times of devastation. It contains songs of desperate petition in times of need. And songs of inspiration and encouragement in times of crisis. It includes songs of confident faith, even in the midst of uncertainty. You see, there is scarcely a time that cannot be captured and expressed in the tones and words of music. And what's more, music utilizes the gifts and abilities of those who worship. Verse 7 seems to indicate that David wrote the hymn that follows for that particular occasion. And David's authorship of so many of the Psalms is a reminder that the believing community has been blessed with talented musicians, composers, and poets. People who have willingly used those talents to lead us in worshiping the Lord. In fact, the name mentioned in verse 5, Asaph, is credited with 12 psalms that we find later in the book of Psalms. Such gifted people date back hundreds and thousands of years, but they continue up until present day. Johann Sebastian Bach, a musician and composer in the late 1700s into the early 1800s, said, "All music should have no other end and aim than the glory of God and the soul's refreshment." I like that idea of the soul's refreshment. And then he added to his compositions, at the top, JJ, Jesus Juva, which means, "Jesus, help me." And then he ended them, SDG, which means Soli Deo Gloria, which means to God alone the glory. You see, through the years, we have been very fortunate to have countless gifted people who offer us a tremendous array of hymns, songs, and spiritual songs which aid in and enhance our ability to worship. Verses 4 through 6 also list singers and players of instruments. Now, the Levites would typically sing with instrumental accompaniment, leading and accompanied by the larger congregation in offering praise to the Lord. Well, we too are very fortunate to have our music team, people who are tremendously gifted in music, at playing instruments, at singing in the choir, people who willingly dedicate their time to plan and prepare to use their talents for the glory of the Lord. Well, we're tremendously blessed to have John, have James and Brian, have our choir, to have Delaney on the cajon, those who play the handbells, others who sing and use their musical abilities in so many different ways. In our day, we also have those who mic and mix the sound so well in the service and for our live stream. I mean, Jay and Delaney Bennett up there in the sound booth, Aaron Ray, Wendy McNeely, and from time to time, Bob Rogers, who fills in. Well, we are exceedingly blessed by those who serve us so well through the music ministry of the church. because music serves an important function by enhancing and engaging us in worship. And music serves an instructive function in worship. Music can teach us about God and God's deeds. The songs that we sing can retell the story of who God is and what God has done. And music can be a primary means by which our children learn and retain biblical concepts and scriptural ideas. I mean, how many of y'all grew up hearing basic songs like Jesus Loves Me? Or Jesus Loves the Little Children? I mean, these simple songs impart the important lesson of God's love for each and every one of us. The songs that we sing at church, or the Christian music we play in our vehicles or in our homes, can impress upon our family lessons about God. Our youngest son, Clayton, he's always loved to listen to music. He's always loved to sing. And when he was growing up, I loved to walk into his room and he'd be having the TV on, watching YouTube sports highlights because he loved every kind of sports. But in the background, he'd be listening to Christian music. You know, even as we get older, what we listen to, the things we sing, continue to shape and inform our understanding of God. Now, not all music that claims the name Christian is particularly helpful. Not everything out there is necessarily biblical, but that which is can inform and strengthen our faith, because music is a powerful way to get God's word into our heart, an effective way to teach our children. And music can remind us of God and God's deeds. We often take the things to heart and commit things to memory through song. How did we learn the ABCs? We sang the song. The more we listen, the more we participate in singing, the more familiar the songs become, and more importantly, the greater impact the message they contain. Music promotes recall and aids in remembrance. Have you ever attended a worship service at a nursing home? I tell you, I've preached many times during nursing home services, and I will tell you that the favorite part for those residents is not the preaching. It is the singing, and that is by far. And as we sang together, I've always been amazed to see the words of those songs come flooding back to the minds of those residents when we begin to sing. And some of them may have even had cognitive issues or even the inability to recognize family members, but the words to those songs would come back to mind. And often the remembrance involves the recollection of places of worship, of fellow believers who are gathered together, and most importantly, of God's faithful presence and comforting promises. You know, I still can't listen to or hear the song Family of God without thinking of the very first church I pastored and the wonderful people there. Whenever I hear the song Redeemed, I'm right back at the front pew of this church singing as a child. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." Worship through song is a means by which God's word dwells within us. And perhaps it was this awareness that led Martin Luther to write hundreds of years ago, "The devil takes flight at the sound of music, just as he does at the words of theology. And for this reason, the prophets always combine theology and music, the teaching of truth, and the chanting of psalms and hymns. Music serves an instructive function in worship. And music serves an inspirational function in worship. The singers and musicians had an important role. They invited the people to approach God. They led the people into the presence of God. They aided them in encountering God. They prepared them to hear from God. Verse 4 tells us he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Because music moves the heart and mind, it inspires us to approach God. Many songs are simply prayers with musical accompaniment. And as such, those songs invite us to invoke the name of the Lord, to make supplication to Him. The prayer of singing leads us to call out to God and invite God into our lives to help, to lead, to speak, and to save. Those songs help us to articulate what our hearts long to express. Have you had that experience in worship? Where you're singing along and you're like, yes, this is it. This is what I want to say. This is what I need to say. And music inspires us to give thanks to God. Through music, we are invited to acknowledge who God is, to remember the tremendous goodness of God, and to celebrate what God has done for us. Music led the people in this passage to approach God, the one true God, the covenant God, the one who rescued them from slavery and made them his very own. They worshiped and sang to the God who saved them and called them to be His very own people. Now, if we are God's people in Christ Jesus, saved from sin, death, and hell, and made His very own, we too offer thanks through music, through song, through singing. And music inspires us to offer our praise to God. To praise God is to acknowledge God's worth. The people in the passage took time, used their gifts, employed their talents, and led the people by deed and example to worship. In this place, among God's people, God is to be the object of continual praise. The reason we gather together, and the reason we do so regularly, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 states, "The trumpeters and singers joined in unison, as with one voice, to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, 'He is good. His love endures forever.'" Indeed, He is good. His love endures forever. Because of that, He is worthy of our worship. Now, while the Scriptures stress the importance of music in worship, we might note that there is little concern with style in the Scriptures. In fact, the Apostle Paul used the phrase hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs, which seems to refer to a variety of styles. The instruments themselves may hit at various styles, as harps and lyres may stand in contrast to loud-sounding cymbals and trumpets. Now, that may reflect a good deal of freedom and variety in worship. For music that glorifies God instructs and inspires. But music is personal. What I like may be different from what you like. And by our nature, we all tend to prefer certain styles and types of music. And because it's so personal, we can take things personally. If someone rejects or criticizes what we prefer, and we can hurt or diminish others when we diminish what they like. Well, 15 years ago, Kay and I were able to attend the gathering of the Baptist World Alliance. Now, the Baptist World Alliance is a fellowship comprised of 283 conventions in 138 countries around the world, with 53 million baptized believers. And as we gathered together, I mean, we were surrounded by people from all over the world. And as we worshiped with a Jamaican praise band that I can tell you was very different from what we think of when we hear praise band. We worshiped with a huge Brazilian choir, and much of their singing was in Portuguese. We worshiped with two individual musicians from the underground church in China who played sticks on wooden blocks. I mean, you talk about a gamut of styles of worship. And it was evident to me that style is not a right or wrong kind of thing, and certainly not a more spiritual kind of thing. I mean, just because you might cheer for the Mavericks over the Spurs does not necessarily make you wrong. Or, wait a minute, maybe it does. That may be a bad example. The important thing is that we worship with music. Because music that points to God is important. It's instructional. And it is inspirational. As Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 states, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. This holiday season and beyond, will you sing and make music in your heart to the Lord? Will you be moved to worship in response to who God is and what God has done? And will you allow those who lead us lead you into the presence of the one who came, died, and saves us? This morning, do you have a reason for worship? Do you know and have you responded to God's deep love for you? This morning you can. God has reached out in covenant love and extended that offer of grace and relationship, that offer of forgiveness and salvation, that offer of a life that is abundant and eternal. And perhaps this morning God is calling you to respond for the first time, to say, God, I need what only you can provide. I need what you've accomplished in Christ Jesus. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you can confess, man, I know the love of God in Christ Jesus. But will you respond with gratitude, with devotion, and with praise? Will you pray with the songs that we sing, allowing them to draw you into the presence of God? You know, sometimes we can just kind of get here and kind of go through the motions without really thinking about the things we're saying or singing. Will you make a conscious effort to approach worship differently? Saying, God, when I come into this place, I want to be aware of your presence. I want to enter your presence. And I want to sing your praise. Focus on the words. Allow those words to move you. Allow those words to draw you into His presence, and then allow those words to be a means of offering praise to the God who has done so much for us. Or perhaps you're here this morning, and God is leading you to join our music team. or simply to express appreciation to them and for them for the tremendous work that they do? Will you support them? Our choir program, our other programs, and sing with them. Join them in worship. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you're seeking a church home, a place where Christ is lifted up, where we come together for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that's to see Him glorified. And if God is leading you to partner with us here at First Baptist, we would welcome you. John's going to come and lead us in our hymn of invitation this morning. However God may be leading you to respond, whether here at the front or there in your pew, I invite you to do so as we sing together hymn number 295, Near to the Heart of God. Would you stand together as we sing?